This morning we begin looking at each item of the armor of God the Apostle Paul mentions in his letter to the saints, to you who are also faithful in Christ Jesus. And again, I'm reminded of that conversation between Pilate and Jesus the morning after his betrayal and his arrest. You remember that John, in his gospel, fleshed out a bit of that conversation, and he records it in the 18th chapter, beginning with verse 28. In the midst of that conversation, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this on your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" This morning, as we begin to look at the armor of God, we're going to be looking at that first article. But let's turn together to the 6th chapter of Ephesians. Here again, verses 10 through 17. Especially realizing that we live in a society that is asking this question: what is truth? Listen as God speaks to us. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Let's pray together. Father, help us as we look at this portion of your word, and especially at the belt of truth. Help us to wear that belt in a way that honors you, that we might be a healthy and growing congregation following your leading. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. As you can see there in the outline, it is my contention that a healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading wears the belt of truth, which is Jesus, the foundation of the armor of God. As we consider fundamentally this belt of truth, we need to take up, first of all, what I'm saying is the stimulus of the armor. For as far back as I can remember, when I began to read the Bible, and particularly when I began to remember stories in the Bible and concepts that the Bible sets forth, every time I heard Paul speak about put on the whole armor of God, it was my understanding that he was stimulated to use this sort of imagery as we enter into the battle that is before us, if we indeed are those who are faithful in Christ Jesus, that he was noticing the Roman soldiers. Because we understand that he wrote this letter when he was in prison. And we understand that there was a Roman soldier handcuffed to him in the house where he was 24/7, 7 days of the week, indeed, every day of the year that he was there. And so it was my understanding that seeing that soldier there and seeing that soldier in armor, that stimulated him to speak about the various parts of the armor that he saw. And surely we understand that Roman soldiers do indeed wear a belt, and they wear a breastplate, and they wear a helmet, and they carry a shield, and they have a sword. But as you stop and think about it, would a soldier be in full battle array, handcuffed to a prisoner in a house that that prisoner paid for? Who's going to try to overpower the guard and take Paul out? And why would he have a 4 feet by 2.5 feet shield on his left or his right arm, depending on which hand he uses to wield the sword? They're handcuffed to Paul. Now, we understand that Jesus on many occasions uses the things that are common to us in creation to carry the weight of a story or an illustration or a way of life that he sets before us. But this is the Apostle Paul. This is the one who was steeped in Old Testament scripture. He knew Genesis through Malachi, and he knew it in the Hebrew, but he knew it as well in the Greek. Remember, he's the apostle who, when he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, went from village to village showing how Jesus indeed is the Messiah. And how would he have done that? Well, he would have opened up to the people the scriptures. Well, we read Isaiah chapter 11 in the first 9 verses, didn't we? And there was a reason for that. Did you catch the 5th verse? But before that, did you catch the 1st verse. Here in Isaiah chapter 11, we have the picture that God gives to us of this stump that's coming from Jesse, of this root that's going to be fruitful. And what does it say of this particular individual? Well, it says that this individual is going to have a belt of righteousness around his waist, and he's going to have a belt of faithfulness covering his loins. I submit to you that the stimulus for the people of God wearing armor is not the Roman soldier. but it's the living God, and especially the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm convinced that not only does the stimulus of the armor play into our understanding of, ultimately, this morning, the belt of truth, but secondly, it helps us understand the source of the armor. It helps us to understand the source of the armor. Listen again to that 14th verse of chapter 6. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Paul begins with the imperative. Stand. Then he follows with the participle, having fastened, having put on. And we'll notice the same participle in verses 15 and 16. Having put on the readiness of the gospel of peace for shoes, having taken up the shield of faith. We're not called upon to make our own armor. And we're not called upon to wear the armor of another person. I'm thinking of that story in the Old Testament when David is going to go into battle against Goliath. And I'm remembering how Saul says to David, "Here, David, wear my armor." You remember the story as well as I do. The armor was way too big for David to wear. It would be completely ineffective for him to have that as he went into battle. Oh, but David went into battle in full armor, did he not? What was the armor that David wore as he went into battle? I stand before Goliath in the name of Yahweh. And I rest on the truthfulness. I rest on the faithfulness of His promise that He will give His people this promised land. And what do we find in that 11th chapter? It's not the lion that lays down with the lamb, is it? It's the wolf. And then it's the leopard and the lamb. Oh, well. But the point is that this is what God promises His people. So there's David. And the source of the armor, in the name of the Lord, ready to rest on the faithfulness of the covenant promises of God. We're not to weave our belt and wear it from natural revelation and the creation word of God and the truth that we find there. We're not to weave a belt of consensus to understand what is truth. We're not to weave a belt based on opinion polls. We're not to weave together a belt rooted in statistical analysis. don't lick our finger and put it to the wind to find out what's truth. The belt of truth, which will cover and protect our loins, is the truth of Yahweh Himself. Isaiah 11:5 tells us the source of the armor, the source of the belt, is the stump of Jesse, a branch from his roots. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. We know the stump of Jesse is Jesus and Jesus alone. And with Yahweh being the source of the armor, we can rest assured that He will put around our waist a belt of truth that fits us each one according to our need. So that our loins are well protected by the truth of Jesus Christ. But we have to understand. The Apostle Paul again is speaking to us as the corporate people of God. And we understand the importance of that. Because we each one, as we have that belt of truth that's fitted around our waist, is fitted around our waist comparable to the amount of truth, to the faith that we have in Jesus Christ in our own lives. And so we have varying degrees of maturity and varying degrees of expertise. Some of us know certain books of the Bible better than other books. Some of us know certain concepts of the Bible better than others. And that's why it's so important to understand that this belt of truth, while worn around our individual waists, is worn around the waist of us as a congregation. And so you see, we have each other's back, so to speak. Because there will be times that the schemes of the wily one will come upon me, and I won't have that sense of the truth that you have. And you'll be able to come alongside of me, and you'll be able to stand with me, and you'll be able to fight against those schemes in the strength of the might of the Lord our God. So we have to understand, you see, Paul's not simply looking at individual soldiers and their belts. He's looking at us as the bride of Christ, belted with the truth as the people of God, to help us appreciate how it is that we, Jew and Gentile, are made into one new man. As that one new man, we have Jesus as our belt. So the stimulus, so the source, as He gives us now the substance, and we've already touched on it, the substance of the belt. The substance of the belt is truth. What is truth? Pilate asked. And the world says, what is truth? The substance of the belt is truth. And if we want to appreciate and understand what it is that Paul has in mind as he begins to speak again about this part of this armor that we're to wear as being truth, does it surprise us that we ought to look at his use of that word truth? The five other places he uses it here in this letter to the saints, to you who are also faithful in Christ Jesus. He tells us that we are in Him. We're in the Beloved. We're in Christ. Because what? Because we've heard the word of truth. And what is that word of truth that we've heard? Well, we've heard the good news. The gospel of our salvation. The gospel of our salvation. And we've come to understand that no matter how hard we might work at trying to keep the Word of God as God would have it to have us keep it, we fail. We fail miserably in thought. We fail miserably in word. We fail miserably in our actions. We can't save ourselves. As hard as we may try. But in the Beloved, in Christ Jesus, we've heard the word of truth. The good news of your salvation. You see, if Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross, according to the Scriptures, if Jesus wasn't buried, and on the third day rose again, according to the Scriptures, we would be most pitiable. But the gospel's true. We have been saved in the Beloved, who laid down His life for us, that in Him our sins would be forgiven. And in Him our righteousness would be so. Oh, the truth. The truth of the Word respecting our salvation. Do you know that gospel? Indeed, is that gospel true for you? All humanity is dead in trespasses and sins. Praise the Lord. The gospel of our salvation is sure, is true. And then in chapter 4, in verse 21, the Apostle Paul reminds us the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. Oh, we know John 14:7, 14:6, John 14:6. For I am the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, Jesus, the truth. The substance of that belt is Jesus. He is the truth. This makes sense indeed, because He claims to be truth. And because we are united to Christ Jesus by grace through faith, what have we done? We've put off the old self, which means we are no longer deceitful. It means that we no longer practice falsehood. And we're no longer prone to the deceiver, the father of lies. But we've been created after the likeness of God in righteousness and holiness of the truth. And we speak the truth with our neighbor, because we are members one of another. Oh, the old is gone. The new has come. Tim read as our call to worship a portion of that first chapter of John. In verses 9 and 10, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. So Paul will write in that fifth chapter of Ephesians, verses 8 and 9, "For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true." Oh, you see, Paul set before us already what truth is all about. And yet, to completely understand what Paul's saying here when he says that we're to put on this belt of truth, it helps us to see how the Greek word that he uses here is used in the Septuagint, that Greek translation of the Hebrew Old Testament, and what Old Testament Hebrew word he uses, for which he translates by the Greek word. And it's that word, amethyst. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. And it's that word, faithfulness, that translates the Hebrew word emeth. And in the Septuagint, alethi is the word that we find here. Certainly the Apostle Paul, as he draws on this fifth verse of Isaiah chapter 11, has to understand and appreciate that Hebrew word that often is translated faithfulness. We understand that a person who's true is truly faithful. His yes is yes. Her no is no. Emeth is firm. Emeth is solid. Emeth is valid. Emeth is binding. A man with integrity is a man of truth. Faithfulness. Yahweh's word against Israel, as we find it in Hosea chapter 4 and verses 1, 2, and 6. "Hear the word of Yahweh, O children of Israel. For Yahweh has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. There is no faithfulness, emeth, or steadfast love. No knowledge of God in the land. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I have rejected you for being a priest to me. And since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget you." One commentator puts it this way: "In every sphere of life, truthfulness grows out of unerring knowledge of God's will. And that such knowledge is for its part an actualization of truthfulness." To have the belt of truth is to have the will of God. Have the knowledge of the Scriptures. And most importantly, to understand how those Scriptures set before us Jesus, who Himself is truth incarnate, and has our gaze focused on Jesus. For it is only He who will protect our loins. We do indeed rightly understand that it is the belt that one puts on first. It is the foundation, if you please, of the armor that's going to be worn as we go into battle. And then that Greek word, aletheia, really has the idea of transparency, non-concealment. The belt of truth enables us to stand, therefore, in the strength of the Lord's might, because we know if the Lord says it, that settles it. And we therefore believe it and we act on it. So we think of the devil's schemes to deflect us from believing the salvation that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. But we've memorized a couple verses this month. 2 Corinthians 5:17, can we say it? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Very good. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And then there's that Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Life I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. The truth with which we gird our loins. I was going to stop. Those of us who read our daily bread, if you read it this morning, we were directed to John 15:15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. I've called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. The transparency of the revelation of God in Christ Jesus, and the salvation that we enjoy as that word of truth has gripped us and we've repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, standing firm on Him who is our rock. A healthy and growing congregation, following the Lord's leading, wears the belt of truth, which is Jesus, the foundation of the armor of God. Amen. Father, thank you that Jesus is that substance, the belt that we wear. Oh, forgive us for looking in so many places and trying to weave together a belt that we like, a belt that fits according to our standards. Thank you that you've provided for us your Son, our Savior and Lord, that we may be clothed in Him. And we thank you that we now appreciate better what it is to wear the belt of truth. Amen.